And tonight I'm going to be preaching on America, China, Russia, and the coming World War III. And I want to speak to you for just a few moments about our position and Christians and what we are to do with what's going on. I believe with all of my heart that this nation is worth fighting for. I really do. As a Christian, I think it's ours to fight for. And so tonight, I hope you'll follow along with me. I want to read just a few verses and then jump into right into the message, pray, and then jump right into the message. If you don't have a Bible, that's all right. You just follow along with me. I'll read right from the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter number 4, and I'll begin reading in verse number 18. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 18. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. My bowels, I am pained at the very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. I draw your attention tonight to verse number 19, that last phrase at the very end of that verse. O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you realize it or not, the trumpet has sounded and the alarm is sounding and war is just around the corner. And you and I as Christians need to be prepared, not just for the political war, but the spiritual war that we are facing tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before your throne in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they would be saved before it's everlastingly too late. I pray that you would revive Christians. And I pray that you would begin right here in Manatee County in Palmetto, Florida, as that song said, a movement to heal our land. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. Nothing seemed further from the case for the nation of Israel. They had always been blessed by God, always been protected by God, always had a way out by God. And here comes this man by the name of Jeremiah saying that the alarm of war is sounding and destruction is soon coming. They laughed at Elijah. They mocked Elijah. They scoffed at his message. But in just 20 short years from this particular message that he preached, the nation of Israel was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon as was prophesied. And the problem was they could have avoided it, but they did not sound and hear and respond to the alarm of war. Now, beloved, I submit to you tonight that the United States of America is not going to get into a war. I submit to you tonight that we are already in a proxy war with China and Russia right now. Now, I'm going to tell you right off the bat that if you're looking for political correctness this week, you are in the wrong place right now. I'm going to tell you. We are already in a proxy war with Russia and China. And the fact of the matter is, China tonight has infiltrated almost every sector of our country, and we are being destroyed from the inside out, much like Nikita Khrushchev announced years ago in the 50s at the United Nations. China has picked up that baton, and much that we see going on tonight is happening. In fact, I remember a couple years ago, a fellow with an orange tan and some funny hair used to warn us quite a bit about China. Somebody say amen. And they laughed him and mocked him, and sometimes rightfully so. But the truth of the matter is, just about every turn you turn, China is at war with us. It has invaded our social media. It has invaded our news outlets. It has invaded our NBA. Basketball players, 7-foot-something, 200-something, cower down to the money that comes from China. TikTok, China, our colleges. Massive amounts of politicians are literally and figuratively in bed with Chinese spies, and our president's son should be arrested tonight for treason and high crimes because he has been in bed, literally and figuratively, with spies from China. And the fact of the matter is, our president, demented and deranged as he is, he likewise has been in bed politically with China. We're in a mess tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to remind you that the fact of the matter is, we're here doing what we're doing, much of the reason because that unnamed virus from an unnamed location is not unnamed. It came right out of China. We're here. And my dear friend Napoleon years ago said that China is the sleeping giant, and woe be unto the country that awakens that giant. And we are seeing it happen day by day. War is taking place right now. And not only that, but we have a war going on with Russia and the Ukraine. Now, I'm no fan of communist Russia, but my dear friend, we have no business being involved over there. We have no business threatening Russia and pushing Russia. And did you ever think that you would live to see the day when adults in the room would talk about using tactical nuclear weapons? Somebody needs to get the idiots out of office and get somebody with some sense. Say amen right there. And yet, there we are. We're talking about war going on over there with Ukraine and Russia. And beloved, you don't believe it because you've never experienced it. You don't believe it because you've never had it come to your doorstep. But I assure you that America is not immune to war. And we are days, weeks, months, we're not that far away from a war that could radically change our life. But there is a deeper reason tonight that we are at war and facing war than just the incompetence of our leaders. And may I say anymore, when I talk about the incompetence of our leaders, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I believe we got idiots in both parties. Can I get a witness right there? But there is a bigger issue than political. Now listen to me very closely. War is the judgment of God on a nation that forgets his natural laws and his righteousness. Whenever you check history, and particular biblical history, you'll find that war is always a judgment of God. Long before Sodom and Gomorrah and God rained down fire out of heaven, they were engulfed in a regional war that was sent to them by God. You can read the story of the Canaanites and the children of Israel, and that war came to the Canaanites because they were killing innocent children, much like our nation does tonight, but they were killing innocent children, and God judged them with war. You can see Israel going to war with Assyria, Judah going to war with Babylon, and you can follow right down the avenues of history with Persia, Babylon, Greece, Rome, Germany, England. And tonight, I'm here to tell you that the United States of America, though I love her, and though I'm proud to be an American, and though I wish the best for her, we are not inoculated from God's natural and moral laws. No nation can do what we have done and get away with what we have gotten away with. And as you look down through the ages, any nation that defies God and rejects God's natural and moral laws always finds itself at war, and America is no different tonight. We have defied the moral and the natural laws of God. And somebody said to me earlier, we were talking to some preachers, said, why do you think that people are pushing the buttons? I'm going to tell you something tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and you listen to me. The reason that we are where we are is not because of Joe Biden. It is not because of Kamala Harris, and it is not because of the Democrats or the liberals or the Republicans. The reason we are where we are tonight is because of the judgment of God. It is God that is pushing the buttons. It is God that is judging us for our infidelity to Him. It is God Almighty that has brought us to the brink of possibly World War III because we have defied God as a nation. It's not that hard to see. In 1948, after coming off one of the greatest victories in the greatest generation that we have ever known, in 1948, the Supreme Court said, get the Bible out of school. We've gone nowhere but down. In 1960, they said, get prayer out of school. We've gone nowhere but down. In 1980, they said, get the Ten Commandments out of school. We've gone nowhere but down. And in the place of Bible and prayer and God, we have replaced it with abortion, sodomy, violence, materialism, greed, pornography, all while carrying coinage in our pocket that says, one nation under God. My dear friend, listen to this preacher tonight. Be not deceived, the Bible says. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, or a nation, that shall he also reap. And we are reaping tonight, and will reap what God has brought to us. Now tonight, I cannot do anything. I wish I could get my hands on the reins of Washington. I wish I could. You'd see so many U-Hauls moving those liars and thieves out of there. I'd get them out of there. I mean, lickety-split. I wish I could get my hands on Tallahassee, though I'm not half upset with the way things have gone there of late. Can I get a witness there? I wish I could get my hands on the Manatee County Commission Board and on the City Council and the mayor. I wish I could do, but I can't do anything about them, but I can do something about you tonight. And I submit to you that that, ladies and gentlemen, is where real revival starts. Lord, heal our land. We should say, Lord, heal my heart. Lord, our land is wicked. No, our heart is wicked. Lord, our nation has turned against God, but I submit to you that tonight, in many ways, we have turned against God. And beloved, you and I can just be like the children of Israel and think there's never going to be a time we're going to be okay, we're all right. Boy, if we can just get our boy in office, boy, if we can just get the right politicians elected, we'll be okay. But it is God, the Bible says, that rules in the kingdom of men and the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter who you get in office. The longer we go defying God in our land and in the privacy of our home, and in the recesses of our heart, the more we are heading for the judgment of God. You say it could never happen to us, preacher. That's exactly what Babylon said. It can never happen to us, preacher. That's exactly what Germany said. It can never happen to us, preacher. That's exactly what the children of Israel said as Jeremiah was preaching under a tent outside the city of Jerusalem, no doubt, and warning the people. They said, well, it's kind of good. It's exciting. It's a little bit novel, but we're okay. We're Americans. But beloved, listen to me. We're not immune. War is coming. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But it's coming. You say, preacher, I'm a Christian. Thank God I'm going to get raptured out of here. There's no guarantee in the Bible that the rapture is going to keep you from trouble. It'll keep you from the tribulation, but there's no guarantee it'll keep you from trouble. And my Bible says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. This generation of Christians has had more than any generation has ever had. Don't you think God's going to come collecting? Not just of the sinners, of his people. War is coming. And beloved, tonight, if I could get anything into your mind, it would be to rattle your cage and to get you to shake off the lethargy, to shake off the insensitivity, to shake off the callousness of this world, the things that bombard our mind, and to get some urgency in our soul and some urgency about our Christianity, some urgency about our life. We talk of good game, but I don't think we actually live it, because between here and the car, we sit, crank, hit the AC, turn the radio on, and say, we're going to be okay. But beloved, we're not. Judgment is coming. Now the question becomes, what are we to do? What are we to do if war indeed is coming, preacher? How are we to prepare ourselves? What is the point of this Faith and Freedom rally? How can we get right and be ready to go? And let me give you three simple, very vital but simple truths. Number one, you need to make sure that you're on the right side. If a war is coming, you better make sure that you're on the right side. You better make sure. The Bible says that no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I submit to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that under this tent there are men and women that are on the wrong side. I'm not saying that you're on the wrong side politically. I don't believe that. But I'm saying you might be on the wrong side of God. You say, preacher, I'm a Baptist. Good, God can still save you. Say, preacher, I'm a member. Boy, I got a gun rack in my car, and I vote right, and I've been on Trump rallies. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to this preacher. there'll be just as many people that die and go to hell going to a Trump rally as there will be those that go to Occupy Wall Street and Black Lives Matters and Antifa. We look at things politically, but man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And the question tonight is your heart right with God? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior? You better make sure that you have the right thing. You better make sure, because I'm going to tell you something. It can be close, but if you don't have the real deal, you're going to miss it. I was recently preaching up in Alabama, and I carry two little things with me in my suit pocket. On one side, I carry a breath freshener, Listerine, and I'll hit it. On the other side, I carry a hand sanitizer. Now, most of the time, they're different in shape and size so that when I'm preaching, don't run ahead of the joke. Don't run ahead. Most of the time when I'm preaching, I can reach in my pocket and I feel this one's kind of oval, and I'll reach in this one over here, this one, the hand sanitizer, it's a little bit tubular. And as I'm talking, rarely will I hand sanitize, that kind of thing. But every once in a while I have it. I was preaching up in Alabama and I felt kind of mouth a little dry, and I wasn't sure if I had water under there. And I reached in and I had happened to not have this. The breath, I didn't have the oval one. I had one that was tubular, just like the hand sanitizer. I reached into that thing and I was preaching and I grabbed that hand sanitizer by accident. It felt right. It felt good. I reached over there and popped that in my mouth. I went from being a Baptist to a charismatic just like that. You ever squirted a bunch of alcohol in your mouth? Of course. I'm looking at this crowd. Of course you've gotten a lot of alcohol in your mouth before. Man, it caught me off guard, and I thought, holy goodness, what just happened? I thought, well, I guess the Lord just gave me some extra Spizzorington, and I preach for another hour and a half. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. When I reached in my pocket, it felt right. It felt good, but it wasn't the same. Now, beloved, listen to me. You may feel like you're saved, but you better have a Bible salvation tonight. Too many of you have gone to churches that have lulled you to sleep. And because you've got preachers that have lulled you to sleep, and you prayed a prayer when you were 12, you turned 16, 17, 18, and hit the door, and you hadn't been back since, except on Mama's Day when she guilt you to come back. You bow your head before the NASCAR race. That ain't the salvation that'll get you into heaven. That'll guarantee your soul to hell. My Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You don't have to work with somebody to get them getting right when they get saved. Talking about alcohol, since you like that so much. When I got right with the Lord, I was a bartender. Drank like there was no tomorrow. Drank heavy liquor, Southern Comfort. If I couldn't afford the fancy bourbon, I'd get old cheap early times, just rot gut, but that's what I drank. When I got right with God, I had a Gideon Bible that I had stolen from a hotel. Go figure that. God will still save somebody that steals a Bible. Somebody say amen. I got off work as a bartender. I got me some bottle of Southern Comfort, got that Bible, went home and sat down, poured me a tall glass of that Southern Comfort on rocks, and started reading my Bible. Did you know that I didn't have to go to a discipleship club to figure out that was wrong? Did you know I didn't have to go and call? As soon as I took a drink and had that Bible in my hand, the Holy Spirit inside said, don't do that. Amen. Don't do that. That's no good. Well, the next night I thought, well, I'm not going to do that, enough of that. So I went and got me a 12-pack of beer. No more liquor, I'm on a beer. Did you know I didn't have to call my small group leader to find out? I opened up that Bible to the book of Matthew and started reading, took a swig of that beer. The Holy Spirit said, don't do that. I said, yes, sir. I didn't know what to do the third night, but I did remember somewhere in the Bible, Jesus turned water into wine. Somebody say amen. Went by, got me a big old jug of wine. The Holy Spirit said, you can't do that. I thought, my goodness alive. The last night I went by and I got me a 2-liter of Dr. Pepper, poured that over ice and a bag of Doritos, and brother, I hadn't turned back since, amen. The Holy Spirit said, that dog will hunt right there. Now I'm joking and I'm playing, but we have all kinds of programs at our churches, all kinds of gimmicks, all kinds of classes, all kinds of this non-stuff. Great grandma and great grandpa didn't know anything about a small group. They didn't know anything about getting plugged in. They didn't know anything about that kind of life group stuff. They just knew, hey, if I get born again, I'll live for the Lord. If I don't, you're a sinner headed to hell. God give us real old-fashioned New Testament salvation. That's what'll change this nation. That's what'll change this nation. Amen. And I'm asking you tonight, man or woman, boy or girl, member or visitor, Do you know that you know that you know that the salvation you have is real? Real enough to get you to church on Sunday night. Real enough to get you to pray. Real enough to get you off of that stuff and that filth that's in your life. Brother, you better find out what side you're on. You listen to this preacher. They mocked Noah when Noah preached, but the storms came. They mocked Jeremiah when Jeremiah preached, but the storms came. There is a storm coming. I wish I could pry open my heart and let you see the burden and the agony of a man of God. There's a storm coming to our nation. There's a judgment coming. You better be on God's side. And even if you never saw the judgment of God on this nation, the Bible says in Hebrews 9, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. God may never judge this land in your lifetime, but He will judge you in yours. And when you come to death's door, you better be on the right side. And that side isn't Baptist. That side isn't being a good person. That side isn't Pastor Tillis or Suncoast. That side isn't Republican or conservative or Donald Trump or DeSantis or anyone else. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You better have a real saving reality of Jesus Christ. And so I say to you, because judgment and war is coming, you better make sure that you're on the right side. But number two, you better make sure that you're committed. Make sure that you're committed to the fight. Beloved, the Bible says no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. We have too many believers tonight in this tent that are entangled with the things of the world, and it's choking your walk with God. It's choking your walk with God. 120 sold out disciples turn the world upside down. How come we can't? How come we can't? It's because we've entangled ourselves. We have entangled ourselves, and it doesn't happen overnight. We don't feel it. I'm just as guilty as you. We don't feel it because it's constantly bombarding us. It's constantly coming at us. It's constantly grappling with us. But beloved, you got it. Listen, you know what you are? You're like me when it comes to landscaping. My wife will go out in our landscape area, in our front, and she will pull weeds. I don't. That's why they make mulch. I'll come out and start to see the weeds coming up, and I'll go down to Walmart and buy me 15 or 20 bags and just spread that mulch around. I go, my goodness alive, but that looks good. And she'll say, did you pull the weeds? And I'll say, it looks good, looks good. Yeah, absolutely. I just keep covering it up, covering it up, covering it up. But you know what? You can't buy enough mulch to keep those weeds. And that's what's happening with some of you. You're covering up with being religious. You're covering up with being conservative. You're covering up with your mom and dad bringing you to church. You're covering up with knowing this Bible. You say, preach, I've been saved longer than you've been alive. Good. But that's not where you need to stop. You're covering up the entanglement. Some Christians have gotten entangled with a me first mentality. That's why I'd rather be in some, and listen, there's some bars I'd rather be in than a church. If you want to see the real carnality and why we don't have the power of God, don't show up on Sunday morning or a faith and freedom rally. Go to a business meeting. Brother, you better be packing in the average church at a business meeting just to get out of there alive. Whether you amen it or not, I know that's so. Boy, we get all upset, and I can't believe this. Well, you know the pastor, he moved the flag over there, and who said to put two chairs up there, and this and that, and all. We're all kind of, while the world's dying and going to hell around us. Listen, I was preaching in a church recently, and I told him, I said, listen, I don't care if the pastor got up and preached in a Batman suit. If he's preaching the word of God, cheer him on, amen. Of course he's not right with God. Superman is better. Amen. But we're so petty, we're so petty. And then we look at these teens and these young people sitting around and go, I wonder why we can't keep them. You know what we need to do? We need to go get us a youth pastor who's suave and cool. And boy, his pants are real tight and they're ripped in all the right places. And his shirt's about six sizes too small. And he's got that real cool, nice hair. And he doesn't use that old, ugly King James Bible. He uses that new stuff and it doesn't even look like a Bible. He doesn't even use a Bible. He reads it off his phone. Boy, if we could get that, we could capture the young generation. We haven't done it. You know why? Because no youth pastor, no church, no rock climbing, no coffee cafe is going to undo the hypocrisy that they see in mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa. Untangle yourself from the world and live for them. Live for God. We have entangled ourselves with filthy lifestyle. So, preacher, we're not filthy. You'd be shocked if God revealed what were on our phones tonight. You'd be shocked if God revealed what we were watching. Well, I preach, I like watching Game of Thrones. Shame on you. Shame on us for watching the filth and then showing up on Sunday morning and wondering where the power of God is. Don't you dare point your finger at the other side of the aisle and say, how dare they let those trans and all that show up at our library, when the fact of the matter is we've got filth on our phones. We've got filth on our TV. We've got filth in our life. That's why, listen, the world's always been wicked. It's God's people that have lost the position of separation and purity. I'm not even talking about you got to go out of here and, man, listen, you know, the old timers, poor old lady had to wear her hair up in a bun, dressed right up under her chin all the way down, didn't wear makeup. It's a sin if you wore makeup. And I've been up in some mountain churches. It's a sin if you wear makeup. I say it's a sin if some women don't. Amen. I'm not talking about some kind of weird kind of a thing, but I'm saying this. Since when did we get comfortable with sin coming through our TV? With our young people looking and acting like the world? Since when did we do that? Since when did we drop our kids off at the school and give them a pass? I think our young men ought to cut their hair like a Christian, wear their clothes like a Christian, listen to Christian music. Well, preacher, I'm letting them have some leeway. Shame on you mamas and daddies. You're trying to tell them to take a stand for Christ after they get out of school? How old was Daniel when he took a stand? How old was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Where's our courage? Where's our guts? And I'll submit to you, that's really my third point. We've got to make sure we're on the right side and make sure that we're saved. I say to you, number two, we've got to make sure that we're committed. And I say to you, number three, we've got to make sure that we're prepared. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. As I stand here tonight, if there's one thing I think we've lost, it's our courage. It's our courage. We're just not courageous like we one time were. We're so afraid. We're so concerned. We're so worried, and it's always easy to go on Facebook, and Facebook has made spirituality real easy now. You can go on there and put your little meme on. And boy, I'm a meme warrior for Jesus. What happened to our courage? What happened to mamas and daddies? And may I say to you, if there's ever going to be a revival in America, it's going to start with the papas and the preachers. What happened to dads taking a stand for their home and saying, no, you're not going to wear that. No, you're not going to watch that. No, you're not going to do that. You say, well, preacher, I don't want to cram it down their throat. That's a funny thing. You do other stuff. Do you cram school down their throat? Sure you do. You cram a lot of stuff down their throat. Why not the Word of God? Now, here's the dirty secret. Do you know why we don't hold the line with our kids? Because we don't hold the line with ourselves. It's kind of hard to tell your son or your daughter to do what's right when you're speaking through a Bud Light on the weekend. It's kind of hard to tell your children to do what's right to do when they just saw you lose your temper and curse. It's kind of hard to tell your children to do what's right and to follow the man of God when you pick and choose what you will and won't follow. It's kind of hard to say, listen, we need to love Christians and this thing is a big deal when you destroy other Christians and tear them down. Do you see what's happening? We need daddies that'll take a stand and parents that'll take a stand and have some courage. Beloved, don't you understand you're in a fight? My son, he's somewhere here tonight. Oh, there he is. All right. I remember years ago, we started taking some jujitsu, and then we worked on striking and martial arts. And they had this thing called Vale Tudo where you would do some training and it was full contact. You would pad up, but it was rough. It was hardcore. It was training you to get the sensation of what real defense was like. And there was a boy there that was several years older than him, but because of the way the belts fell, he had to go against that guy. And some of you heard me tell this story before. He went in there round one, and I mean, he got his rear end handed to him. I mean, I was proud of him, but I mean, he got beat every which way. Have you ever seen those cartoons where the guy's trying to get away and he was just getting beat? They took a little break. He came over. I gave him some water. We talked for a minute. He went back in there, and right at it again. Just got lit up every which way but loose. He came over the last time, and at the time, I mean, he was just disheveled. I think he had a little blood. I forget where it was, but he was just disheveled. He goes, "Dad, it ain't working." He goes, "I don't know what to do." And my wisdom, I said, "Well, I don't either." I said, "I'm sorry, man. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not sure. You've tried a right hook and a left hook and a jab, and ain't nothing working." I said, "But I can tell you what I see. I see something that I think might help you. And you might not win, but you might be able to hold your own." He said, "What is it?" I said, "Well, son, you're sparring, and that boy's fighting." I said, "That boy's going in there. When that bell rings, his intention is to take your head off. He's not sparring. You're trying to score points. He's trying to knock you out." And I said, "Now, son, I don't know all the technical things that you need to do, but you better go in there and root hog and die. And if you do get knocked out, take him out with you when you go." Say amen. His daddy's got insurance like I got insurance. Amen. We'll just all meet at the emergency room. And do you know, that when he went back in there, you say, "Preacher, what happened?" He still lost. But it was a fight. It was a fight. Now, beloved, let me tell you something. We might not win America, and I might not build the biggest church in Manatee County, and the world might not like us, and they might think that we're a loser, but bless your sweetheart, it's time that dads and men and women of God fight. Gird up the loins of your garments and fight. We need dads that'll stand, parents that'll stand, preachers that have courage. God, deliver us. I'll tell you right now, while I've got you, because I might not be able to get you again. So, preacher, what's the number one problem in Manatee County? Godless, cowardly preaching that wants to build churches rather than stand between the living and the dead, that are afraid to say what needs to be said. Listen, brother, I don't answer to anybody but God. And if I have to bag groceries and dig a ditch to speak the truth, I'd rather be right with God and wrong with the entire county than be voted citizen of the year and not right with God. We need a revival of preachers that'll fight, and Christians that'll fight, and grandparents that'll fight, and Christians that will stand for the Lord. So, preacher, what are you asking me to do tonight? I'm asking you to fight for what matters. I'm asking you to fight for the Lord and time with Him. I'm asking you to fight the encroachment of sin and laziness and selfishness. I'm asking you to fight the encroachment of a modern religion and all that goes along with it. I'm asking you to stand for what's right. So, preacher, I'm going to go vote and fight. I think you should vote. Amen. Sometimes we get some good ones, sometimes we don't. And we got some good ones and we got some bad ones. You show up tomorrow night, I'm going to name a couple of them in the county by name that are bad. I said, "Preacher, you can't do that. Show up tomorrow night and find out whether I can or not." "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're not afraid to sin publicly, you're looking at a preacher that's not afraid to call you out publicly. And if you're going to ask people for your vote, bless God, you better live up to your righteous standing before God. Don't get me off the subject." I think you ought to vote. But it's more than that. Did you know that God doesn't need a great government? God needs great people. And beloved, we're living far below what we could be living. What's your Bible life like? What's your prayer life like? What's your holiness life like? Where have you gotten casual? Do you know what we've done? We've turned off our ear to listening for the sound of war. All I'm asking you to do tonight is to listen. Can you hear the thunder? Can you hear the coming hordes? Can you hear the armies that are circling around our children? I told the people over there, I believe it's Miss Sherry, Miss George, I believe in the names. I said, "I don't understand why there's not 50 new Christian schools and private schools in Manatee County." I'll tell you why. Because you want a boat, a camper. You don't want to be bothered. We don't want to be bothered. Don't you hear it? Don't you hear it? Don't you hear it behind all the jingle of the money? Behind all of the materialism? Don't you hear the coming of the judgment of God? I'm asking you tonight simply this. If you're not on God's side, get saved tonight. And if you are, get back on the firing line. Get back to old-fashioned Bible, old-fashioned preaching, old-fashioned living for God. Listen, I don't care whether you come to Suncoast Baptist or not. I'm asking you to sell out for God. I'm asking you to tonight, if there's something between you and the Lord, to say, Lord, I'm going to get it right. Lord, I'm going to get it right tonight. I'm going to get it right before the sun comes up in the morning, Lord. I'll stand guard. I'll hear the alarm of war and stand. It's coming. It's coming. Will you answer the call?